Evening, I should like to draw your attention to the opening of the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews that I read a moment ago, this remarkable letter, which begins with this powerful word, wherefore, which is like an emphatic or a double therefore, 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 in the light of what has already come, and what has already come, this great roll call of faith. People who have lived by faith, faith in God, faith in Jesus. Therefore, therefore, or wherefore, in the light of all of that, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now that is a great picture in many ways that follows on from this remarkable 11th chapter. A wonderful picture of Christian discipleship in the long run, in the long view, in many ways. Let us run with patience, because it's pictured here as a long view, the Christian discipleship stretching out, as it were, in life before us. And here is this word that comes in the middle of the passage. Let us, this is one of the great words of exhortation in the letter to the Hebrews. This letter is filled with them. Let us draw near, let us hold fast, let us encourage one another. This one comes late on in the journey, at a time of real pressure, I suppose it would be fair to say in the letter. It's spoken to a people who are finding this way of faith difficult and challenging. And of course, there's a lot of things about the Christian pilgrimage which are challenging. It's a very richly coloured picture. A number of those challenges are spoken to in the imagery here of this passage. But not everything. And perhaps it's worth just noting what is not spoken to here at this point. So, for instance, there is nothing here about how faith begins. You know? How wounds or how forgiveness is brought, or how we are healed in that sense. How it is that we might wait, or how it is that we are carried when we cannot run or walk ourselves. Hebrews, in a sense, knows all of that. But here, in a general sense, I want to say that this is speaking to a particular kind of need, if we might look at it in that kind of a way. And that is how it is that we keep going in the way of Christian pilgrimage when the way is not always easy, but sometimes challenging and hard and difficult, as Jesus always said it would be. And when subtle, and this I want to be clear about as well, when subtle but very real issues arise along the way. And I think that is important. Sometimes I think in the Christian way, as we journey in faith, we can look at the dramatic and the big in all sorts of ways. But it's very often the subtle issues that are there that are rearing their heads and cropping up. Look at it this way for a minute. Now, the letter to the Hebrews, as far as we know, was written in around somewhere in the AD 60s. Okay, right, fine. With this image here in mind for a moment, let's just say this. Many in the church, in the early Christian church, believed that after the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, that Jesus would be coming again, imminently. Okay, so what happens? When those go on to glory before us, onto their eternal rest before he has come. Now, the letter to the Thessalonians deals with that question, but it has resonances with us today in various senses, and in a certain sense it's here in the imagery too. It's a subtle matter, but it's a very significant one, because issues around it can really weigh us down unless we get a kind of perspective or a way of seeing it. What about when we have been converted to Christ Jesus from a very difficult and troubled past? Many people are. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, that saved a wretch like me, because in a very real sense his life had been like that as a slave driver beforehand. Okay, but then, through the years of discipleship, following the Lord in faithfulness, some of those difficulties from the past press upon us in certain ways again. By a kind of association, perhaps, sometimes. What do we do then? That question has resonances for us, whether we've been brought up in church backgrounds or not, too. It's here, in a way, in this passage. It's not to do with a fierce opposition from those outside the faith. It seems that this is not, maybe, what the people here were facing in that sense, but it's real nonetheless. What about when we step, let me just give one more example of the kind of thing I'm meaning. What about when we step out into the real world? Here's a very real situation for us. And over time, in this Christian walk and pilgrimage, we encounter the pull of different voices saying to us, here's the way. Come this way, follow me, follow this way here. What do we do? How do we keep on the way of Christian discipleship in the longer view? Now, all these kinds of things are very real matters. They take some handling in the way of faith. They take some kind of maturity, I think, too, or things can pull us down. The writer isn't offering a theory. He isn't offering a solution or a technique, but a way of seeing things to help us along the way. Just use a bit of imagination for a moment. Here we are, Christian disciples. Perhaps this doesn't need too much imagination. I don't know. Here we are, Christian disciples, and life along the way has become challenging. It's not without its joys. But somehow things have taken unexpected turns. And we look this way, and we look that way, and we look the other way. And there seem to be challenges, issues of different kinds facing us. And with it all, we've become to wonder how on earth we really are going to keep going on. The writer seems to know here, and I refer to him as the writer. I know that in our versions it's given as Paul's letter to the Hebrews. Throughout the church, from the very beginning, actually, that has been an open question. But, okay, let's call it Paul. We want to, whatever. But the writer, be it Paul or whoever, or perhaps better, the Lord himself knows that one of the things that Jesus does is to see his people through, come what may. Okay. And so this word comes to help us stand back, to pause for a moment, to see the bigger picture, and to find a kind of steadiness again. It comes from the world of the Roman races that were held in the amphitheatres. Let us run the race that is set before us. You know, there it is. Always long distance races. Christian discipleship. It might not be a long race. I think of the thief on the cross. Today you will be with me in paradise, said Jesus. For a lot, it's a long distance race. It was for these Hebrew people. It wasn't just over in 5 minutes. The first recipients would have been very familiar with Roman races, the amphitheatre. And it's amazing what God does with these everyday pictures. Think of what Jesus does with the everyday. There was a seed and it fell on the ground. There was a farmer. There's master and his servants. Here's this exhortation from our passage again. Firstly, picture the crowds in the stands, cheering on those who were running the race. Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. There they are. There they are. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's the word of exhortation. Isn't it a wonderful one? It's a word for people in a challenging day to steady us, to help us to go on. And I simply want to ask you to ponder with me a few of the parts that come up out of it. Firstly, looking to Jesus. He will see us through, come what may. Now, whatever is going on, the word is start by recommitting to him. Whatever is happening in our lives today, his call comes to his people. Commit to him again. Stand up for Jesus. Give ourselves to him again in faith and in trust. Now, there's various aspects to this. Note that Jesus is the one also who has marked out the way for us. The author and the finisher of our faith, let us run the race that is set down or marked out, is another way of putting that. Sometimes I don't know what to make or how to make sense of where I am, of where I am going. And I'm sure that we can all speak of experiences of this sort, personally, as a church, where people of faith, but in the middle of it, we can't make sense of it. We can't see where it is that we are going in that sense. Now, I don't doubt that it was like this for many of those at the time when this letter was written to them. Okay, illnesses can come along. Things seem to present a challenge that don't seem to be readily resolved. Things can happen in the life of a church that don't seem to have a 5 minute quick, easy fix. And we think, what is happening? Where are we going in that sense? What is happening here? I speak to many, many people who are like this. Over in Mid Wales, I speak to people outside of the church. And I speak to many within the church who are asking questions like this all the time. But see, there's somebody who does care deeply and who wants to be trusted and can be trusted and who does know the way. He's marked out that way. I remember I used to talk with an elderly gentleman. I knew him from the first chapel that I went to in Canterbury. Lovely, lovely fellow. And he looked back. He was in his 90s and he used to say to me, sometimes I look back over my life and I see it and the way in which it has gone. And sometimes it's almost as if for a long period of time, it's as if I'm taken slightly off course and things get really confusing and really difficult and really challenging. And sometimes that goes on and goes on. But then I've brought back in because it's like a way. He wasn't referring to any passage of scripture. the way that has been marked out for us. So in the bewildering day, look to him, because he knows. He knows the way. It might not look always easy and clear to us. In fact, a lot of the time it might not look anything like that. But he knows. Even when the challenges are blowing us about and we haven't got a clue. Look to him, talk with him, pray to him. Ask him for his help and guidance. He won't turn his people away, even in the great hour of need when death comes our way. Because in such love he has gone that way, overcoming sin and death and breaking their hold. For us, learn to identify the voices that come in other ways, to the voices, the devil that says, don't go that way, don't. From the voice of Jesus, beckoning us to follow him. Look to Jesus. That's the first part of this great call here. Or the first part of what I wanted to draw out of it. Second, note this. Note that we are not alone. Now, if my thoughts that I don't know where I am quite going or how things are working out can sometimes in a subtle way get hold of me in my life in Christian faith, because by Jove, they can. And they can bring me all the uncertainty, those thoughts in the world, and challenge me in all sorts of ways. Here's another one. Sometimes I just reach the conclusion that I am all alone. Do you? Nobody has been this way before. Nobody's faced these challenges before. Look at where I am now. Look at what's going on around me now. And that thought gets me down. In one sense, of course, it's quite true. We're all different before God. We're each the persons we are in Jesus. But in the more general sense, it's just not true. Be encouraged. The writer speaks here of the great cloud of witnesses. Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are they? They're the saints who have run their races of faith before us. Looking down, as it were, in the picture of this passage, like spectators and cheering us. Look at the challenges that they faced. Listed in Hebrews 11, that faith, that Christ brought them through for his glory. You know? Now, for a starter, Jesus is with us, his people. He who has marked out the way for us, he faced much more than we ever shall, for us. And he will certainly be with us each step of the way when we turn to him and trust him and respond in his grace. Even without our response, there he is, you know. He shall be with us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So Psalm 23 goes on. But really, what is being referred to here are the saints who have endured all kinds of challenges, coming through in faith, looking to Jesus in their day. The Old Testament saints, as it is here, those all listed in the 11th chapter. Another real challenge, I believe, that is subtle but so real. And sometimes I try to pretend that it isn't so real for me, but it is. Are the saints who are taken on to their eternal rest before us. And I miss them. Sometimes when I conduct services in the home church in Llanidloes, I think of the saints that I grew up with there, and now of course I am back at the church there where I grew up. They were not perfect in themselves, they were held and kept in the righteousness of Jesus, whom they sought to follow through his grace. Okay, the church there doesn't just have a gallery, the chapel just doesn't have a gallery at the back, it has a vast gallery around there, around the head, around this side here too. And sometimes as I'm there conducting services, I picture them. Those who have run their race before me, there in the gallery, as it were, looking down upon us. When I lived in Kent, I used to keep photos of some of the dear people I had met in Kent in the chapels there, who had gone on now to their eternal rest, who had supported me, who had encouraged me, had helped me in ways more than they could ever know. Without them, I don't know how I could have got through, but God provided. Wonderful. If we sometimes get discouraged along the way when we are fewer in numbers sometimes. The chapel in Canterbury, where I went to first in my 20s, had been reduced to 2 elderly people, a married couple, who had decided to keep the doors open for 1 more year to see what would happen. And then I went, and my neighbour in our 20s. I loved the people to bits. Well, I sometimes used to look at these photos. I had them there on my study desk or just on the windowsill just beyond. And I used to think, what would they think? If they could see what I am not allowing my life to be used for here, to follow the Lord, the way in which I am wandering. Sometimes I used to turn that around, and I used to think, do you know, I'm sure they would be saying to me, well done. If they could see the way in which I was seeking to follow, even in a challenging way through the Lord's grace today. I used to think that that way of thinking was absolutely plain nuts. Until I remember this passage. With such a great cloud of witnesses, one thing we should be sure of, they will be there to greet us with Jesus and to welcome us home when we come to our eternal rest. The saints who have gone on before us. So, look to Jesus, talk to him, pray to him, commit to him through his grace. It's what he wants us to do with that grace. Remember in those times when we're dispirited by the thought and pulled down and pulled around by it, that we are not alone. There are others who have walked this way before us. Jesus knows about it. The Lord knows about it. He's been to places that we shall never go to for us. And then, if we are looking to him, seeking to follow him in his grace, there will come things that challenge us that are not part of his best intention for us. Weights. They're referred to here. Weights that slow us down. Want of a better way of putting it. It's a fascinating way of speaking, weights. Not everything that weighs upon us is wrong in this sense in Christian faith, of course. Some of the responsibilities that Jesus gives us a real and a good, but the responsibilities that we have for them can sometimes be like weights upon us. Perhaps the burden that the Lord gives us to become engaged with them, as it were, again in our lives. Family, friends, work, care for others. These are, in a sense, good weights that the Lord gives us. They are not things to put down, they are things that he promises that he will help us to carry. But there are other things that are different. Things that cling to us in a wrong kind of a way, things that drain us, things that keep us stuck. That in his grace, he wants us to be free of. Put them down. Again, things that maybe we don't always think of, maybe subtle things in our Christian pilgrimage, but very real nonetheless. Say, for instance, these days, I put on the internet and I keep on watching it for hours on end. Isn't that a very easy thing to do? When the Lord really wants me to be up doing something else and serving him and living for him, but there I am. It's like a weight. It holds me down. There is nothing wrong with the internet in itself at all. In fact, it has many, many, many good uses. But it can become like a weight. Say we become so anxious about something that it just cripples us and our intentions for following him in his grace. These are not necessarily sins of the obvious kind, but they are like weights. The one who says to us, do not worry, seek the kingdom of God first. You know? Some people come to faith from troubled pasts. We mentioned this a moment ago. John Newton is a classic example. Associations with those pasts can sometimes creep up upon us. It can sometimes be a place that we go back to. Or it can be sometimes just being in the wrong company, you know? And they can be like things that are waiting there to trip us up in the moment. Failings of the past can catch up with us all. There will always be a sin, something that is just wrong, that will entice us. It might be a different thing with you to me. But they will always be there, hovering around. The devil would love us to trip up, to fall out of the way in these sins. The word is simple. Put them down. Like a runner putting down the heavy weights used in training so that they can run more freely, there are some things that must just be put down as best as we are able in the Christian life. That can be challenging in itself. Christ knows all about it. He laid aside everything that hindered him in order to do what he came to do for us, and in his grace, he will help us to do the same in our lives. It might be that we need to do this day after day. Put them down. Well, it's good sometimes. I'm going to draw my thoughts to a conclusion here. I don't want to go on. We could ponder many other aspects of this wonderful, wonderful passage here. It's good sometimes to stand back and to reflect on where we're going and how. When I teach children brass instruments in school, I usually find myself somewhere along the way reflecting with them about the challenges that they will face as they learn to play. But I say to them, keep with it. This isn't a 5-minute thing. Keep with it and you will find that you can play. Be patient. This isn't a 5-minute thing. And it's good in the way of Christian discipleship. Like a long-distance race, the writer is saying, run the race that's marked out for us. Expect the challenges to be there, the moments when different pressures seem to call. not just the obvious, but these subtle, there are so many of them when we stop and think about them. The times when the weights come along that he doesn't want us to carry. Look to him in the faith that he gives us in his grace. Remember the saints who have gone before us, because we're really not alone. And put down the weights that he wants us to be free of. And get up and run the race again that he calls us to join and to enter into of Christian discipleship. With those who have gone before us, with our eyes fixed on Jesus, let us run the race that is marked out for us. Amen.